Mind Gap Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind Gap Podcast. I'm Doug.
I'm Justin. And Doug, is there anything about you that people are surprised to learn?
They might be surprised to know how big my belly button is. Like the belly button hole. It's monstrous.
I don't know that I've ever really noticed your belly button. You have nipples the size of pepperonis.
I do have pepperoni-sized nipples. My belly button hole is pretty big.
And I
guess
didn't
what? It's
this.
About to happen. You're going to see it.
There it is.
All right, see? This thing's pretty big.
You do have a large... You know what it is? Anytime I've seen you with your shirt off, it's been obscured by the hair.
Yes.
So I never really got a good shot of like how big is the hole.
Yeah. It's a pretty big hole.
Yeah. Like you could... What do you think you could stick in that hole?
I mean, several M&Ms, you know. And listen, they may not melt in your hand, but they'll melt in my belly button hole, that's for sure.
They're going to melt in there.
Yeah. It's going to be a chocolatey mess. I'll tell you that much. It's going to be awful.
What we could do is we could throw this out to the Mars Candy Company. And we could say, if you think that you can create a candy that will not melt in Doug's belly button hole, then you reach out to us and we will do this live on the podcast. We'll put candy in his belly button at the start. And by the end, we'll see if it's melted or not.
Or how about this? Put in the comments how many M&Ms you think would fit in there. And then I'll try it. And the winner gets something. You know, gets a prize.
It's like, guess how many beans are in a jar, right?
Right.
Like, it's how many fits in. Now, okay, so let's get the rules straight here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it how many are, like, so you can run your finger over it and nothing comes, like, is it flat? Mm. Or, like, can it be a little convex?
I would say, that's a good point. I would say,
And will you remove the hair
belly button
when you
lint.
Shave around there?
Belly button lint. Got it. Just found some in there. Oh, my goodness. I would say, because what I would do is I would lay on my back.
Uh-huh.
And I'd put some in there. And as long as it fits, I guess practical Doug's kicking in here.
Yep.
It's got to be like, because there's a little bit of a dip. Like, once your hand can kind of like go over the abyss and not like, you know,
knocking
trip
M&M
over,
out.
You know, yeah. Knocking them out. I think that's when it would be full.
Okay.
Yeah. So put your guesses in. If you guess right, once we have all the guesses locked in, then I'll do
why
it.
Don't we give this,
and
why
record
don't we give
it
this 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. So 2 weeks from when this airs, mm-hmm. where's my calendar here?
Yeah.
So we are.
So it's March 1st is when it will air. So by March 15th.
For 15th.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So by
lock
March,
in
so
your guesses by March 15th.
By March 15th, and on the show on March 18th, we'll go down. We'll
when we record. Yeah, and yeah. Maybe we'll do that, and we'll do a special, you know, like subscriber only, you know, video of me putting M&Ms in my belly button. You know,
that is 100% the beginning of an OnlyFans account. Like,
right. Like
hard
what
stop. It's
called Belly Button Doug. You know.
It's called Belly Button. Is that the name? It's onlyfans.com/bellybuttondoug.
Belly Button Doug. It's
okay,
like, what's he going to put in there? I don't know. Is it honey this week? Oh my gosh. Is it marshmallows?
Fans are going to have hats that just say BBD.
Yeah, BBD. It's like, oh, I like I know what that stands for. It's like, no, you don't.
You know what the prize is going to be? You know how you can get people? No, you don't.
No. It's not what you think.
You think you know, but you don't know.
It's not what you think it is.
It's you can have all the guesses in the world. You will never guess
it. You're probably not going to get it because it's not what you think it is.
You know how you can, you know how you can get M&Ms with people's faces on them as like novelty gifts. We need to get M&Ms with a picture of your belly button on them, and that's the prize we give out.
So they look like buttholes, basically?
Why not? I mean, it is what it is.
The brown M&Ms. Congrats. Yeah, this is Doug's belly button.
Look, belly button.
Is there hair on this?
Stomach.
Yeah, it's authentic, you know?
Absolutely.
Is there a little bit of lint? Maybe.
That's Doug hair.
That's Doug hair. You're welcome. Justin, what was the question you asked me, but to you?
Something that someone would be surprised to learn about. Gosh, I don't know. I'm trying to think if I should give a fake answer or a real one.
I gave a real one.
Yeah, you did.
Why don't you be authentic, Justin, and stop worrying about what other people fucking think of you, huh? How about that?
I'm worried about what other people think of me. That's something that you'd be surprised
that's,
to
That's problem
to
number one, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think most people would be surprised because a lot of them don't believe it. Because in the media, it's been portrayed one way. But I have Tourette's syndrome. And a lot of people are like, what? No, you don't. So I've it's funny. I've had to defend the fact that I have it to people in the past.
They're like, no, you don't. You just look at them and you pause and you go, cunt. They're like, wow, that's a weird tick. You're like, that's not my tick.
it's not my tick. That's an opinion.
That's just facts is what that's that a is. Fact. Mom.
Yeah, mom. Oh, man, the times that we've gotten into it, Doug. Oh, boy. Let me tell you.
No, that's a good point because it's funny because like I don't even notice it anymore. Like I completely don't even notice it.
If you watch the full stream, you'll notice my eyes going up every once in a while. And that's like, but again, look, I've had 40 years of practice on reining this in public. So usually when I'm super tired or if I'm just alone in my home, you know, I'll ease up and I'll allow myself to tick a little bit more, but I've gotten pretty good in public to putting a lid on them. You mm-hmm. know,
what are your tics? So you say you look up, do you have any other physical tics?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is they come and go like mm-hmm. they like some will be with me for a while and then they'll dip away and I'll develop new ones. So I've had, some of the worst ones that I had when I was in grade school, I would walk and I would stop and I'd raise up on my tiptoes and I'd keep walking.
No.
And that just, man, dude, that was a
pain
in the ass.
Have fun walking. Justin cannot be at the front of the line.
Nope.
Or you have to have like a 5-foot buffer. It was like, it's like a pandemic level 6-foot buffer between you and everyone else. It's like, don't get close because he'll stop.
Don't get. It's a whole domino thing. You got to keep your distance. Yeah.
Oof.
I used to blow on my hands all the time and it would.
Okay.
It would. I actually, and this is the thing. This is how far we've come since you and I were in grade school. I was punished for it.
Oh, because I was, no.
I was distracting the other children.
Because you're so going.
I was.
Okay.
I would blow, or if I had erased something, game over. If I erased something, I would every single, and that's where a little bit of the OCD is tied in with the Tourette's, is every single piece of eraser shred, and
had
I would
to be gone,
and I'd blow, and so they had this partition like a cubicle they would put up around my desk, and I'd just be sitting there inside this thing, and I'm like, even then I'm like, this doesn't seem fair.
They're like, Justin, we're sick of you blowing all the time, so we're gonna isolate you. Because you and your fucking wind machine you got going on over there, like, you're driving people crazy. Wow. At least you didn't whistle while you did it. You know?
That would be, yeah. Look, you know? I have a mild case. Like, there are, like, what you see in films and stuff, that's a specific type called coprolalia. And that is where you scream out obscenities, and there are people who have it way worse than I do. And I'm very fortunate, but it has definitely presented its troubles along my life's journey for sure.
That's I think it's so funny because I remember when I first met you, there were some tics, but I didn't think much of it.
Yeah,
and then you were like, "I have Tourette's." I'm like, "Oh, that makes sense."
Yep.
Okay. Like, again.
Yeah.
Wisdom score, not good. Perception. Not good.
What's he doing with his mouth? Why is he making those noises?
That's cool. All right. That's cool. He keeps punching the desk randomly. I don't know. Oh, he's just angry.
That's just unfettered anger.
Oh, that's right. He hated the commute with the Blue Line.
Oh, man. Nothing made me rage more. Oh, my God.
Dude, those days. That was the worst. Justin would come in late to work.
Every single day.
And he would come in and he would be fucking silent as he walked in, and he would toss his bag down and he'd sit at his desk and he'd boot up his computer, and it was like, uh-oh, dad came home from work and dad is not happy. And it was just like, we're not going to say anything. We're going to whatever. Justin would just, he would take a minute and he'd be like, I'm really sorry I'm late. He'd just like very curtly say that, and I'm like, it's cool, man. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
The thing is... And it would be at least 20 minutes until like things they shook it off, and then it was no work got done. But no, it was the most fucking random thing, because every single day something there was a delay. There was, you know, like someone on the track or something ran express, and it was fucking uncanny. Like, I hated the blue line to this day, probably my least favorite line to ride.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it depends on which one. Cause I also remember like the brown line at rush hour was awful. I went the reverse commute.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a problem with that. But boy, at rush hour, when everyone was like getting away from downtown, I always looked at that like, that sucks. Later, bitches. And it's like, I got in this empty train.
If you catch the brown line during normal, like midday hours, the brown line is one of my favorite lines to ride, because it's just, it goes through some real cool communities, and just that, like, it meets up with the red line and then goes away from it again. Yeah. I really like the path that it takes. But yeah, during, if you catch it going the wrong way during rush hour, forget about it.
Yeah, no
Absolutely
good.
Forget about it. Yeah,
absolutely go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
Well, thank you for sharing about that.
Yes, thank you for sharing about your belly button.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, gang,
speaking of sharing, where can people share things with us?
Share stuff with us. First of all, if you're listening to this, thank you very much. If you're watching this, hopefully you're at youtube.com/mindgappodcast. If you want to see more of our content there, head on over, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, get notified whenever we post something. We've got our shorts there. We've got some other little goodies that we have posted over there from different things that we do. I host a video game live stream on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central. We did Pummel Party last week, which was so much fun. Jared just got picked on just relentlessly. And I, amazingly, in the first game, I won, humble brag. Second game, I just consistent third in everything across the board. Just a third place in almost every mini game that we played. I got third place overall at the end. Like, I was just like consistently third place. I'm like, this is, I'm nothing if not consistent. So it was a real treat. It was very fun.
At least you placed.
I did. I lost. I mean, that's what it was. So yeah. The public party used to want to be last, because when at the end of the game, there's like a little, like, you know, standings. It's like first place, second place, whatever, third place. And then last place is in a cage. And then you basically can't run around. And you just can punch each other and kill each other for as long as you want. And the person in the cage just gets stuck in there. And basically people just try to pick on you because you're stuck in the cage. So just don't be in the cage. That's really kind of what it is. So
that's a good rule for life, too.
Yeah. Don't be in the cage. That's, you know, in all aspects, it's no good. But this Friday, March 1st, I'm going to be playing Helldivers 2 with Noah and Alpaca. So I'm sure if you're into games, you've probably heard about this. It's shown up. It's essentially like Starship Troopers. You play as a soldier who basically drops down into like enemy territory, and it's batshit crazy insanity where you try to do certain missions. You can absolutely kill each other. There's a tooltip that says friendly fire isn't. That's what it says.
I love that. Yeah.
And I played with Alpaca and Noah a couple times, and I've been on the receiving end of some orbital strikes, as they've been calling them in, and it's wild and it's fun, and we're looking forward to playing that for the stream. So definitely tune in for that. I'm also trying to put together a group for Left 4 Dead 2 in the coming weeks, so stay tuned for all that good stuff. Also, check the link in the description for links to our Discord and to our Patreon and to our merch if you feel so inclined to check those things out.
And now I'd say let's take a pause to pay homage to the almighty ad dollar.
That's right. Nice. Justin, number one or number two?
Two.
Okay, here we go. Yum, 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 yum. Look, we've all been there. Another day, another cup from corporate. The Christmas party, birthdays, annual bonus, cups, 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 everywhere you look. Well, look no further than SAC. SAC stands for Saving All From Cups. And that's what we're here to do. Bring all your cups, whether they're embroidered, laser engraved, bejeweled, plastic, metal, mugs, thermoses, or anything in between, and we will take those cups off your hands and turn them into neato little knickknacks that you can re-gift, and no one will ever know. This Stanley Cup turn it into a little giraffe. That metal wine glass with a lid and straw, that's a set of Newton balls. All of your cheap corporate cups have a potential to be something wonderful that you can give to someone else instead of just letting them collect dust alongside all the cups you actually use. The best part? It's free! You just have to sign a waiver that says, we have full right to make anything from these recycled cups. And of course, when we say anything, we mean a giant effigy to feed the wandering god of the Shadow Plane in order to appease him enough to allow the mortal realm to continue existing. So come on! For all our sakes, cup our sack.
So Doug, have you ever worn a mankini while riding a horse?
You know, I feel like that's the best way to start a relationship. You know, like that's a great way to be like, how did you meet?
With the horse?
Well, Doug, I met Doug. He was riding a horse while wearing a mankini. And I tell you what, he had my attention.
I got one look at that belly button and it was stars.
I was like, okay, that is an endless abyss from which there is no return. You know?
Right. The first thing I thought was that man is something else. And I wonder how many M&Ms I can fit in that belly button.
That's right. If you're not familiar with what a mankini is, it's essentially like from Borat, that thing he wears that basically like it's a strap that goes around up over his head and then like just covers his balls and also is kind of like a thong at the same time. So it's like, you know, very tasteful, yes. I think is what we could all agree on. But if you're not familiar with the world of equestrian, which I wasn't until I heard about this, there is a rider named Shane Ross out of Australia. And during a, literally it's called a fancy dressed show jumping event, he wore a mankini. And there's definitely images of it. If you want to go check it out online, just type in mankini Shane Ross, and you're going to get a good look at that.
You get an eyeful.
So, this was hilarious to me, because this guy, Shane Ross, who's a pretty, celebrated, competitor. Apparently, he won silver in team eventing at both the 2008 and 2020 Tokyo Olympics, and he claimed bronze in the same event in the 2016 Olympics in Rio. So he's not...
He's definitely familiar with the global stage and the Olympics. So, because right. According to this, there were other people that were dressed up. Holy shit.
Okay, so my power went out. I don't know if you saw on my screen the flickering. But that was the precursor for the entire power on my side of the street going out. Just my side of the street. Not the other side of the street. Not the people behind me. Just my side of the street. So
I was worried it was either that your power was going to be going out or that the girl from the ring was about to visit you.
That
one
or
of the two.
I'm having an epileptic seizure because I'm seeing bright lights flashing and this is not good. But anyway,
it was quite odd.
Yeah, it was quite odd. But so you don't know it, but we had about a little over an hour in between when that happened. And my favorite part will be, you'll never see this, but as the video, I'm talking and all of a sudden it just goes pitch black. And you hear me go, oh, shit. And I'm just sitting there in the dark.
Well, and on my side, because this has happened before where for whatever reason, it's like something's glitched and you know it's coming. Like you freeze. And then you go away and I just see myself. Yeah. And I think you said on your side, you see the same thing, right? Like where you see you and then eventually it just syncs back up. So there's a solid like minute and a half of me going, all right, I'll just wait this one out. All right. He's going to come back in any moment now. Maybe I should restart my side. Maybe I should leave the browser and come back in. I'll leave the browser and come back in. Yeah. So it's me having a conversation on my side.
Yeah,
not knowing that you are just down for the count over there.
Yeah, I was just like pitch black, and I walked down the stairs, and now he's like, it's dark. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You know, you're eight. Grow up.
You're eight now, all right?
You know, it's like, I'm afraid of the dark. I'm like, I've been up here all by myself in the dark. It's fine. But we just were watching Into the Spider-Verse on the iPad, so we were having a good time.
If you were a mean dad, you would have gone, how do you think I felt? I was upstairs with the monsters under your bed.
Right? Yeah.
All by myself. Right? I was lucky to get past your room without them grabbing
me and
pulling me under.
I was airtight. You know? How do you think I feel? You know? Daddy, what's airtight? You'll find out on your prom night. So anyway, a man on a mankini
A man on a mankini.
A man on a mankini.
Was wearing a horse.
Was wearing a horse. So Shane Ross, an Aussie, was riding a horse wearing a mankini. And according to some uptight person named Kieran Perkins, who was the Australian Sports Commission chief executive, said he was horrified by the sight of the three-time Olympic equestrian Shane Ross appearing in a mankini, describing the incident as setting a poor example. Who fucking cares? You know what I mean?
Right. He said he was ignorant of the standing Olympians, the standing that Olympians have as role models. And it's like, this is, if I were to see this guy, I'd be like, that's the bad boy of equestrian right there, of equestrian sports. This guy doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, fucking Perkins went on to say, I know there's been a narrative that it's a good old Aussie bloke just having a little bit of fun, but what those pictures didn't show you is the picture I saw, which is of a 50-year-old man semi-naked jumping a horse over jumps at a community event surrounded by people of all ages. I think really the problem is that it's a man on a horse jumping over things at a community event for people of all ages. Who fucking cares?
That's the problem.
Exactly.
Is that
it's not the mankini? It's that people are watching a man on a horse jump over shit. You know. I'm sure what we've learned is that role models need to pay close attention to the impact they're having on everyone around them. Think about what it means for not only themselves but their sport as a whole. I hope we never see a mankini in public in that kind of environment again. Could you just be more of a 1980s like villain dad?
Right.
And Footloose. You know?
Is that a Twisted Sister pin on your uniform?
What are you gonna do with your life? Like, come on, man. Fuck off.
Seriously, like that's the, like just this is the epitome. Perkins is the epitome of just just smelling your own farts. Like that get over yourself.
Yeah. We have to acknowledge that when you are an elite athlete, when you are a medalist and we are going for an Olympic Games, you do have a broader impact on the community than the average human being walking down the street who does not get the attention and does not have the ability to impact the media. Sir, this is equestrian. Fucking relax.
I think you're far overselling the impact that this is going to have on the media. You made it to Mind Gap Podcast. Congratulations.
Yeah, no shit.
That's the beginning and the ending of where you're going to get. I also think this is the thing with, if you scroll down, you see, the caption, Rose will be allowed to compete in Paris despite the incident with an individual. I'm assuming this is Rose in a previous one where he's wearing your traditional, it's like the waistcoat with the tails. He's got his, riding pants with his boots.
Hat on.
His top hat. Yeah, exactly. That is more akin to whatever the uniform is for them. It's all about, and you and I talked about this around Thanksgiving, it's the ceremony, it's the tradition, it's the ritual. And I'm like, why is that required for this?
Let me tell you about the innovations that have come through in the sport of equestrian.
Oh, please.
Over the decades, if not centuries, of competing in equestrian. There's been none. Who fucking cares? You do this because this is what you do. Like, that's the classic thing. Like, this is the traditional garb of someone who rides a horse and jumps over things. Fucking get over yourself. All right. This guy was doing something fun. There were other people dressed up in silly costumes. He wore a mankini. Get fucked.
The thing is, like, was his ding dong hanging out? No, it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like,
because you see his butt cheeks? Awesome.
Was it revealing?
Metal.
But like, I will remind you, in Europe, like, this kind of attire at beaches is far more, like, I just don't understand what the hang up is with, like, I understand in the environment that you're in, you might not be expecting to see that, but again, it wasn't like he was, showing the twig and giggleberries to everybody. Like, he had his riding crop safely tucked away.
Yeah. It's just,
I don't know what you want. Like,
it was for a fun, silly thing that other people, and that's why they gave him a pass because other people were dressed up silly.
Right.
He wasn't doing this at an Olympic event.
Right. That's the other thing.
You know?
Look, is it an extreme choice? Absolutely. Kudos to him for having the, pun intended, for having the balls to pull this uniform off or this costume off, but you know, what are you gonna do? We're all
I think we need to see more of this. I think we need to see more of this in sports.
This would make me watch this sport.
Of course. Well, I'm just saying
sport.
Yeah. Sport in quotes. Do you consider equestrian a sport, Justin? Let's start there. And let's not get too far off of our target here, all right?
Stay on target.
Stay on target.
Could I command the horse like he does? No. Is there a level of skill that he possesses that I do not when it comes to riding horses? Yes. Can I ride a horse? Yes. Can I jump and do dressage and all the whole? No, I can't do that. So there is an element of having a skill.
Yes.
To do this. You know, this goes back to all the qualifiers of what is our mm-hmm. sport. In that capacity, I suppose, I just think you're really good at riding horses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is one where I really struggle to call it a sport.
Yeah.
I could hear the argument for it,
yeah,
but I struggle to gut reaction call it a sport.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like, I know it's not too common in our vernacular. And I know part of becoming an Olympic sport, we learn this about, you know, what it takes to be an Olympic sport. It's like, it's got to be fucking done in like 70 to 80 countries or some shit like that.
Right.
So like, whatever, congrats. But I don't know. This is definitely one of those events.
We'll go back and say though that it does take skill.
100%.
Not saying that these people don't have like immense skill.
Undoubtedly,
with what
to be able to.
It's just the definition of what they're doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like, I this is just a classic thing where it's like everyone's so fucking up their own asses about what this is that it drives me nuts. And I think there should be more changes in other sports. My first one would be golf. Let's stop pretending that golf is as prestigious as it is. It is not.
Right.
It is not. For the average person, golf is getting hammered and being out in the sun and hitting balls. Like,
right.
It is not. I mean, let's face, these guys are wearing fucking khakis and fucking polo shirts at the pro levels.
Right.
And they're just like, oh my goodness, here he is on the fourth hole. Can he do it? And again, fucking talented people to play golf.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a clip of Tiger hitting this ridiculous shot at the Masters, like unbelievable shot, like incredibly powerful. But why are we putting so much prestige upon this? Like, it's like, ooh,
the sport of kings.
Are you allowed to come to the Masters? Let's take a look at your skin color. You are a little too dark to be allowed in here for the Masters. You need
and
to
just
lighten up just a bit. Otherwise, you will not be allowed to attend in our presence. It's like, fuck you. Get fucked.
In the list that I was putting together for myself when we were thinking about this topic, I have the sport and then what I like the rationale, and the golf was the only one. I just have golf. I don't think I need to explain this one.
Yeah. Here's what I would do to the attire of golf. I would do it a couple ways. One, for the men, same attire except for polo shirts, just giant cutouts around the nipples. So like their nipples are showing at all times.
Yes.
Like just giant cutouts. Like everything else is fine. Or just everything's fine except at the ass cheeks. The cutout of the khakis. So just like you see butt cheeks. And you can't wear underwear.
Ooh, interesting.
So you have to see like some butts.
So golf is required. Butts are required.
Butts are required.
Golf.
Or they have to wear Lululemon yoga pants.
See, I'm into that one.
Yeah,
I like doing that. I think they need to wear an entire Lululemon yoga, like head to toe.
Why not?
All decked out.
Become
in Lululemon
wear
yoga
a swimmer's
attire.
Like wetsuit. Be completely aerodynamic.
There we go.
You know,
and yeah, now we're not talking about the Speedo. We're talking about a full on wetsuit.
That's right. Or
yeah.
Just fucking literally athletic shorts and a shitty tank top. That's what you wear.
See, that's
and
what, I
a
want,
fucking
I want
like
to go to the Billy
a
Madison
big old
route.
Floppy hat or like a sombrero to make sure that you're covered from the sun.
I'm saying go the Billy Madison route. Everyone needs to take a lesson, or not Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Whatever, they're all the same to
like
me.
Like just flannel, you know, mm-hmm. fucking cargo shorts, you know, flip flops.
Let's stop pretending.
We're having a good time.
Let's stop pretending that this is anything other than what it is, which is dog shit. You know, for like just heaping some sort of prestige upon it because it costs money to go fucking rent time at some goddamn golf course, you know?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Well, for the prompt that you put out there, what other sports need to take themselves less seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that topped my list was Little League anything.
Ah!
And it's not the players that take it too seriously. I think those fucking parents need to realize where they are sitting.
Yeah.
What they're watching and what it really means.
Yeah. Nat's going to try some softball here in the spring. And
that's so fucking exciting.
Yeah.
But also horrifying.
We'll see. I don't think anyone's going to be really good. So everyone should just take it easy.
That's the thing. No one's going to be really good. But you know there's going to be those parents that, I've been training my daughter since she was 4.
Cool. Hope she's happy.
Rawr!
Hope she's happy. You know, because that's all I'm trying to do right now is find where Natalie is enjoying something and where she has, where she there's an intersection between something she enjoys doing and something she's good at. And we'll see where that ends up. And when she finds that, we'll just throw gas on that and we'll go, you know, we'll
absolutely
keep
it
going.
And that could change. I remember my niece, she wanted a piano lesson. She wanted a guitar. She wanted to do softball and baseball and this and this and this, or softball and basketball and all these other things. And like interest kept changing all the time. I felt like about every month there was a new thing that she was into. And she finally landed on, because she comes from a big basketball family, I'm assuming that is, you know, my wife's family is, they're Hoosiers, you know, they're all about the basketball. She landed on that and excelled at it. She was a very, very talented basketball player, but it took her a while to kind of get to that point, you know.
Yeah.
But you incubate the interest, you stoke the fire and let them figure it out, and whatever they want to try next, as long as it's not going to break your bank,
yeah,
you know, be like, yeah, let's give it a shot, see what happens. This could be the thing.
I agree. Everyone needs to chill the fuck out. Like, have fun, enjoy it.
Yeah.
But these are children at the end of the day, so fucking chill your tits, you know.
Yeah.
What else you got on there?
Football. Again, I said the sport doesn't necessarily need to take itself less seriously. The fans do.
Okay, so this is getting into the fans need to chill out. In what way, Justin?
Little League in football, I feel like. But, well, I mean, there's like people go, they look at football as like church on Sunday. It's a religious experience. People get fucking, and look, you can say the same thing about basketball and baseball. Like, if your team
is, you can say the same thing about
playing,
WWE, Justin.
Here's the thing. I feel like most of the fans in WWE know what the score is.
Doesn't matter. They're fucking rabid fans.
Well, yeah. They're rabid fans, but the football fans don't realize that this is a game. The football fans are the ones that are like losing their goddamn minds, getting legitimately angry that, quote unquote, we didn't win. I'm sorry. Right. What position were you? I didn't catch your number on the field.
Right, yeah. I saw a wonderful video the other day of this girl. She's like in her 20s. It's New York, like hardcore New York accents, and she just stands in front of the TV. She's like, "Dad, I need to tell you something." He's like, "What the fuck are you doing? Get the fuck out of the way. I'm watching the Knicks game." She's like, "Yeah, but I really need to tell you something." He's like, and her mom's like, "Janine, you know what? You're 23 years old. You know you're not supposed to stand in front of the TV when the Knicks are on. Your dad doesn't like it." And she's like, "But Dad, I need to tell you something." He's like, "Get the fuck out of the way! In 9 minutes at halftime, we can fucking talk. Until then, fucking move." And see, their mom's like, "What? What do you want to say, Janine? I just want to say that I love you. Get the fuck out of here." She's just like showing how much they just are so into the game. They're like, you know that your father watches the Knicks games at these nights. You do not stand in front of the TV. You do not talk to him. It's just like, oh my God.
I'm sorry, you said that was a sketch?
No, it was like a legit thing. This girl filmed herself doing it. She filmed herself as she was doing it. She's like, "Dad." He's like, "Get the fuck out of the way. I'm watching the Knicks."
I fucking love it. The other one, one of the other ones I had on there was curling. Because they're like, they sit there and they yell at a piece of granite sliding across ice like my grandfather used to yell at the dog.
Yeah.
Like, they're just,
I thought you'd
fucking
say something else. He yelled at something else. It was a different time. It was a different time.
He chose what he yelled at. Who am I to correct him? All right?
I mean, I didn't know him his whole life. I don't know. We'll see.
But like, they're, you know, they sit there and they're just screaming at this piece of granite that's sliding across ice. I'm like, guys, chill. What are we, like... You're out there with brooms, just.
It's tough because.
Look, I like this.
Justin, don't fucking backtrack. Don't backtrack on this. No. Don't.
I enjoy watching it. Don't. I think they need to fucking
believe in yourself. Okay, believe in your opinions. Okay, so it's hard. It's hard when you watch, especially the professional level, how seriously people take curling. It's hard to take them seriously when you're like,
yeah,
it looks like a fucking sketch. It looks like a made up thing where someone's just like, ready, go, and they're just like stretched out and they're just like, and then the people are just furiously brushing the ice and they're like,
well, and the person who pitches it, they're just like, brush. They're just screaming from the back.
And then there's two dudes at the bar playing shuffleboard being like, hey, this is what we're doing, you know? It's shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard.
It's just, yeah. It's, I don't know. I think
curling always seemed to, yeah.
A lot of those events, it's hard when you watch it and you're just like, you don't understand it, or it means nothing to you, and you see how seriously everyone's taking it, and you're like, hey, can we just relax for a second? Because I'm sure if you looked at football, like never looking at American football ever, and you watch it and you're like, what are we doing here? Like, what's happening? You know,
the rules are bonkers.
Yeah. Basketball, you know, they're trying to get the ball in the hoop, man. You know, like just, okay, I guess, you know. You see how intense everyone is, and then you just apply that to something like fucking curling, and you're like, huh?
Well, a lot of the things that I was going through when I was thinking about these sports, I was realizing it's not the sports. I think you or someone made the cut, they were like, I feel the same way about Dave Matthews and the Chicago Cubs
fans, yeah.
I don't mind Dave Matthews Band or the Cubs. I hate the fans, you know?
Yeah, I used to really like Dave Matthews Band, and the fans ruined it for me. They absolutely ruined that for me. And same with the Cubs. Like, I was like, whatever, Cubs are fine, but the more Cubs fans I met, the more I was like, I don't like this team.
Well, and I feel like I was going through these. I'm like, there's not too many sports that I put on my list here that the issues with the sport itself. A lot of them are with the fans or the participants. Like pickleball was another one I had on here.
Pickleball's become really big. Like,
it's
a really big deal.
It's the fastest growing sport and that's the stat that everyone loves fucking giving you. They're like, it's the fastest growing sport in the country. It is.
I don't care.
Statistically.
You know, I'm sure there's a guy that can grow the fastest boner, but, you know, who gives a shit?
Why not?
I mean, whatever.
Someone out there holds that record.
Right? Fastest boner. Yeah. Congrats. It's the fastest growing sport. Meaning what? It's just popular that people like it? Okay. Congrats. What's its longevity, Frank? Is it a fad? Is it going to stick around? Probably. They're building pickleball courts out where I live. You know? Out where I live. I'm both Canadian and Scottish.
The Scottish Highlands of Canada.
Yeah, right? Out in the Scottish Highlands of Canada.
I don't know what Canada is.
Canada.
I don't know.
It's in Canada.
Who's saying that?
Canada.
It's in Canada. Oh man. Yeah.
Random fact. I learned this from the Basement Yard podcast. Did you know in Scotland they don't refer to the act of ringing the doorbell and running away as a ding dong ditch? Do you know what they refer to it as?
I do not.
It's a, what is it? Oh, fuck. I just forgot. It's like a chicky melly is what it's called.
A chicky melly?
A chicky melly. Yeah. So okay. imagine a Scottish person, you know, they ding dong your door and they run away and they're like, oh no, it's the chicky melly. I can't do a Scottish. Do it.
What?
Those motherfuckers are doing another chicky melly. Say it. Go.
What? Oh, those motherfuckers are doing another. I can't even do it. Right
you got now. It. It's good. It's good. It's better than mine. Yeah. It's better than mine. Lean into it. Don't give up. Never surrender.
I can't get out of my head. I was here. Ah.
Ah.
Your groundskeeper Willie.
Ah.
Ah. Oh, the kids are back again. Ah. They're chicken belly. I can't. can't even get it out though. This is fucking great. Oh man, I forgot how to do a Scottish accent. You've got me so in my head now.
Hey, I think you did better than I did. I gave it a shot I was like, hey, wall. I hit the wall. 100% got me 60% of the way there, baby. You know?
It's all about the commitment. It is. That's what it is. Yeah. If you do anything with enough oomph behind it,
yeah,
people will they'll believe it.
they'll believe it. It'll be worth
they'll
it.
They'll believe it. You know.
Yeah.
Do you have any other sports in your list?
Golf was really the main thing I had.
That was the big
gymnastics
one,
yeah, to some degree. Okay. Because I hate how I guess to a certain degree. Anyone who takes themselves too seriously, I guess, is what this boils down to. Like, I've watched cooking shows where I get livid at people that are like, I can't believe you did such a shitty job trying to do this thing. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. Natalie was watching something. It was something about, like, basically making snacks. I forget what it was called. It was Snack versus Chef or some shit like that. And the idea was, like, they would take, like, a traditional snack like Gushers, and they have to recreate the Gusher, like, as close as possible. And they would be so...
Like, from scratch or something?
Yeah,
or?
They'd be like, here's a Gusher, recreate this. And they'd just be like, this is terrible. You missed the mark on this. This does not taste exactly like a Gusher. I'm like, hey, this was made in a fucking factory out of chemicals.
Yeah.
Made out of non-natural things. How about you eat some balls? How about you take fucking chillax, relax a little bit.
That's just the byproduct of the reality show, the reality game show culture.
They're getting insane now too. Like, I saw one
that sprung up. Oh God, yes.
It was a combination of fucking. It's called baconeering or something like that. They more or less were like. You had pairs of teams. One person was a fucking engineer. One person was a baker. And they would be given a task. The first episode was to make a cake like that is a boat and that it can basically float to a destination within 45 seconds. And they had 9 hours to make it.
Oh, my God.
And I watched the whole episode and I'm sitting there being like, what are we doing?
You
this.
Gave them ratings, Doug.
What
you
we,
gave them what they were looking for.
And I was like, this is insane. And there were like
that's ludicrous.
So many teams. You didn't even get to meet most of the people in the first episode because there's so many people. And they're just like, here they are trying to take their cake that floats and get it across this moat in 45 seconds. God. And then they were getting talked to by an engineer.
Yeah,
and there was like a cake expert, and it was just like they're like, "Well, if you didn't take care of the buoyancy ratio, which is why your cake fell over and didn't actually float," I'm like, "This is insane. We're taking ourselves seriously with this. This is crazy.
This is television.
It's absolutely.
This is what passes for entertainment now.
It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Completely stupid." So yeah, this boils down to like anyone who takes themselves too seriously and tries to be too fancy is like. No, like I don't want to. I don't want to.
You find it everywhere too.
Yeah,
I mean it's in like you said, it's in cooking, it's in you know film. Mm-hmm. Anyone discussing film or film critics or literature or it doesn't matter. Pick a fashion, pick a subject, and you're gonna find the people who you're just like, all right, let's
your job.
Dial it back.
People
a notch.
Take their job way too seriously.
Oh my God, absolutely. In my 9 to 5, there are people who live and you're like. That's great for you if you get excited about this, but let's not fool ourselves into this is not nearly as important as we're making this out to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and my natural inclination when that happens is to absolutely make fun of them, like, and not take them seriously and just completely ridicule everything about it because I'm like, I don't respect this. I don't respect you. So my only action is to make fun of you. So,
and there's I want to point out there's a difference between someone taking something too far and someone just being really into something.
Yes, big
like if
difference.
If someone's got a true passion about something, and they're talking about it with a lot of like you.
If you're
you
a fan of something, I'm not gonna fucking enjoy it. You being a fan of whatever, any genre of music, sport, a game, whatever, and I'm not into it, I don't fucking care. Cool, go enjoy your stuff. But if you're someone who's mad at a guy for one event, decide to be silly and put on a mankini and you're like, I think he shouldn't go to the Olympics. This is absurd. This is a role model who doesn't take it too seriously. It's like, I'm voting for that guy for some sort of like worldwide president because that guy fucking gets it.
He gets the assignment.
He's riding a horse. Relax.
Yeah.
Relax. Relax.
That's it. That's the message today. It's just relax.
Just relax. And put on a mankini and tell me if it's worth it, baby. All right. Let's move on to our game. I'm so excited for this game. It's going to be fun. So this is a game. It's called Explain a Film Plot Badly. It's based on a hashtag that went around, who knows what social media is, but basically people would write like a one sentence explanation of a movie. Of a movie plot, and then they threw the hashtag explain a film plot badly. So I have a couple of these. I have seven to be precise.
Oh boy. All right.
I'm going to read them.
Are these ones that you made up?
No.
Or are these ones that you culled from the internet?
I culled these from the internet.
Okay.
I did not have the time nor the creative energy to do this myself.
Okay.
Besides,
I just
want
to know what we're dealing with.
These were infinitely more funny than I think I could have come up with.
I dig it.
So I'm going to read this, and Justin's objective is going to be to try to guess this. Now, I will say this beyond the shadow of a doubt. You may not have seen these, but you know what these are.
Got it.
I would say you've probably seen six of the seven of these, possibly eight.
Eight of the seven?
That's right. I said what I said. That's right.
You're doing Justin math now.
That's right. All right. Are you ready, Justin?
I'm born ready. Let's do this.
Okay. First one. A love triangle between an 18-year-old girl, a 100-year-old guy, and a dog. What is that movie?
It's such a bad description. I love it. I was so ready for like a legitimate description, and this is like absolutely wonderful. Say it again.
A love triangle between an 18-year-old girl, a 100-year-old guy, and a dog.
And a dog. A 100-year-old guy. 18-year-old girl, 100-year-old guy, and a dog. oh, my God.
When you know what it is, it's like, this is obvious. I was like, I thought these were going to be too easy. Yeah. That's what I thought.
No,
then,
no.
But then when you don't know, you're like, what the fuck?
Well, this is like the guess in 10 where your brain is like, just like, oh, my God, it could be literally any movie. And you're like, what? So the first thing you do is you start, you go, okay, well, what movie has a young girl, old guy, and a dog that are maybe going on an adventure. And then you're like, well, love triangle, what does that mean? Like,
And you also have to understand that there's some cheekiness to this as well.
right. So like the first thing I want to say is Up, but like that little kid is not a girl and also not 18. So that's two of the three.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work.
That's good deduction right there.
Can you give me a clue?
It was a massive, massive hit. And it's several movies series.
Oh, it was a series.
It was a series.
Oh man, god damn it!
The ladies were all about it.
Twilight.
Yeah, the Twilight Saga.
Twilight Saga.
That's right.
Oh my god!
The dog bit is the one where you're like, uh oh.
Here we go. Okay, we're loosening my brain up here. I'm getting into it. Let's do this.
All right, second one. It's a short one, so you got every word matters here. Okay, you ready? Number two, Ball is Life.
Ball is Life.
Yes.
It's not Ted Lasso. Are we doing... Okay.
These are movies.
We're not doing... These are movies, okay.
These are all movies.
Ball is Life. I mean, something about the sun? Does it have to do with the sun?
No.
Okay. How about the sun?
No.
Okay. All right. Not S-U-N or S-O-N. Either one. Okay. Ball is Life. Ball is Life. This is so hard.
I can feel it. Like you're just like, I don't know, man. Like just don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. If you don't know, fire something out. Like.
Armageddon.
Okay, cool. Castaway. Ball Wilson is Life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like that one, but okay.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'll take the Twilight one. That one is sus.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to like it, okay? Here's the, that's not a requisite for this. You just gotta guess it. You just gotta guess it. Right. And I'll admit, that one's kind of weak, like, for what mm-hmm. it is. But when you think about Castaway, I'm like, that ball meant the world to him, man. You know?
Wilson!
You know?
Ball his friend might have been better, but...
That was his life. That helped him survive.
That
you know?
Is, yeah. You're right.
All right, here we go. Number three. Right. Two idiots fight over another man's wife at a ski resort.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah! Bam, 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 that's... bam, 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 bam.
Forget about it. One
man,
of my
you
favorites.
Are all yeah. over that one. Nice. All right, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
Group spends 9 hours returning jewelry.
That's the Lord of the Rings.
It is Lord of the Rings.
Group spends. That might be the best one yet. That's really good.
That one's solid. All right, number five. A drug crazed lunatic slowly kills children in front of their parents one by one.
In front of their parents. A drug crazed lunatic. Patch Adams.
Nope. There's no. Okay. It's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
There it is. All right. Yep. That makes sense. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'll accept that
one. It's because we, without the context, you're like, this is like a horror movie. You're like, no, actually, it's a kid's movie.
Well, that's the first thing I went. I'm like, okay, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. I was like, what? But like Nightmare on Elm Street, he kills them in their dreams, and I don't mm-hmm. think he's drug addled. So I'm like, but then I had that thought. I'm like, no, it's throwing you off. Mm-hmm. Like you flip the genre, and that's how they get you.
And you're like, oh, what's a kid's movie?
Right.
All right, here we go. Number six. Friend zoned for 3 decades. Girl finally likes him. She dies.
The Notebook.
Nope.
Oh,
that's a good guess.
No.
That's a good guess, though.
I've never seen it, but I was like.
Actually, a very good guess. It's actually Forrest Gump.
Oh. Yep. And again, makes sense. Now that I hear it, it makes sense.
All right. Last one. Go. Cancer survivor never loses his sense of humor. Justin's wiping his face. He knows it. He knows it in his heart of hearts. He can feel it down in his plums.
Cancer survivor never loses his sense of humor.
Yep.
Deadpool.
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! I was like, if I tell you this, you're going to be so fucking pissed. You're going to be so pissed.
Well, the first thing I went to was too literal. And that's... It's easy... To have your brain, like your brain wants to go to the very literal. So what was that, the Seth Rogen one where they, didn't he play stand-up?
Yeah. I forget what that was called.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
One of them, they shaved their head. So I'm like, well, maybe that, but I'm like, that's way too
literal. It was like
50-50
or something like that. I don't remember what it was called.
I think you're right. Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Yeah.
That's a good one too, but you're like, wait, no, I got to flip this. Like, what is
it? Yeah, I'm like, that's too literal. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the picture with this was great because it was just Deadpool laying in front of the fireplace. I was like, of course, that's what it is.
Of course.
Well done. You did a really good job, man, all things considered. Excellent work. Way to go.
I didn't keep count, but I feel like I got at least 3 of those.
You got 1, you got 2, you got 3, you got 4. 4 out of 7.
All right.
That's pretty good. That's more than half. So.
Yes.
Woo woo.
I passed.
Let's give it up to Justin. Yeah.
Man,
Justin was
like, it's so short and punctuated. I don't like it.
It's every time, man. It's about as good as
I'm gonna come.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's like pow! It cuts right through the.
It's so quick too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's no one suspects it. Justin,
cool. Yes.
What do you got to recommend this week?
I am gonna recommend. It's a documentary on. I believe it's on Netflix. It's called American Symphony. John Batiste. He's creating. He set out to rewrite and redefine what a symphony is, and wanted to kind of show that it didn't have to be stuffy and it didn't have to be everything that we know a symphony to be, like the old school European style of symphony. So he set out to write the Great American Symphony, and as he was doing this, his wife relapsed with her leukemia, and it came back very aggressively. And this documentary morphed into something completely different. The day that he found out in 2002, it was either 2020 or 2021, I think, the day he found out that he was nominated for 11 Grammy Awards was the same day that she, her cancer came back. And so it's like watching these high highs, like he's writing this symphony that he's going to perform at Carnegie Hall. He's on the Colbert Show. He's nominated for 11 Grammys. He's like everything's going up for him. And then she gets this life-threatening thing that comes back and she's in the hospital and he's has to tour, but he has to come back and be with her. And he like, so it's this, it's really, it's a beautiful slice of life. Like it's heartbreaking. It's beautiful. It's uplifting. It's kind of all the emotions. But watching someone go through this and you're just like, man, like everyone's got a thing they're going through. And it just, it puts things into perspective in a really beautiful way. And what was really cool is that he also scored, obviously, a lot of the documentary, too.
Cool.
And the song it ends on is a lullaby. So when she was sick the first time, he was writing a bunch of lullabies for her because it was the only thing that would help her go to sleep in the hospital. And one of the themes of one of the lullabies ended up being kind of the theme of the movie. And it's just from a musical, if you like music, you know, if you like just, you know, true, you know, just beautiful story. Like it has something for everyone. So I would strongly recommend watching American Symphony. It is one of the best documentaries I've seen in a long time. So
where can you watch it?
I believe it is on Netflix.
Okay, cool.
Let me just double check that while you give your recommendation.
I'm going to do something that is equally as serious. It's a board game called Turtle Splash. Okay. And it's a new game I got to Natalie for her birthday. And it's an awesome blend of memory game, which I am terrible at now as an adult, but also dexterity. So the way that it works is there's this little pond, like a little pond thing, and you have a little token of a turtle, and the idea is to flick the turtle and get it to land on the pond. Depending on where it lands,
curling.
Kind of, except way cooler and not as serious. You flick it and you try to get it to land in a spot, and depending on where it lands will then allow you to flip up a certain number of tiles that are face down.
Okay.
So you all have individual cards, and on those cards there's like three rows with animals, and you have to find the animals in each row in order, and the first person to complete all the rows wins. And the only way you can do that is by flipping over the tiles and be like, cool, I found this one, I can move along, and so on and so forth. So you can be really good at memory, but if you're bad at dexterity and flicking stuff, you're not going to do very well.
Okay.
So there's times where like I would keep flipping over the same goddamn tile. I'm like, why am I flipping this one over? I know what this is, but I forget instantly as soon as it's done. But I would land several where I get like three that I could flip over. I'm like, yeah. And it was like super cool. So it's a great game. It's short. It's fun. It's an awesome game. I think kids can play it. Adults can play it. I think it's super cool. Check it out wherever you can find your board games. Turtle Splash. Yeah.
I love it. Fucking,
I fucking love it. Canada.
Wait, what is it? The
chicken belly. Chicken belly.
I fucking love it. Chicken belly. Freedom.
Canada.
Canada. Canada will forever be. Where are you off to, laddie? Canada.
Ah, you're not like the other Scottish. Oh. You're from the Canada.
Oh, fucking A. It is on Wikipedia.
It's on Wikipedia.
Jesus
it is.
Christ.
Wikipedia!
No, it is on Netflix.
Cool.
American.
Good to know.
So there you go.
Awesome. Yeah. Gang, thanks so much for hanging out with us and putting up with me even though my power went out. Special thanks to Justin for that. Be sure to check us out on all our social media at MindGap Podcast. Be sure to check us out at youtube.com/MindGapPodcast. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think about things that are taken too seriously. What do you think? Did we hit them all? Did we miss some? What would you do to make them less serious? To let them chew the toots? Having a hard time tonight. Check the link in the description for a link to our Discord. Be part of the family. Check out links to our merch, to Patreon. Also, I live stream on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central. Be sure to tune into that and check out Justin online as well.
on Instagram and just Instagram at Justin_Michael spelled M-I-K-E-L. It's the fun way of spelling it. And while you're in the online realm, anywhere where you can find and consume quality podcasts, you'll be able to find and consume us. And we would love it if you did. Share, rate, review, subscribe, all those things. The big one, though, is sharing. Please let people know that we exist. It's the only way we're going to grow, and we really do appreciate it. So thank you ahead of time. And because I thanked you, that means you have to do it. No takesies, backsies.
Yep.
I got you there. That's a technicality is what they call it in the legal sector. Love and Improv Film on Instagram, loveandimprovfilm.com, twoeastdaith.com, and twoeastdaith on all social medias.
Woo! With that, woo! I'll say, Justin, thank you.
Doug, Liz, thank you.
And to all our listeners and our viewers, thank you. And you all have a dandy fucking week.